Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now, you may remember many months ago, toward the very start of the pandemic, we spoke about the fact that our pets were having a big life change just as we were, because we were at home all the time and therefore our pets had their humans home all the time. And what would that mean and how would they respond? Well, now we are moving in the opposite direction and thank goodness. But what does it mean for them now? We are joined once again by dog behaviourist Nancy Creedon. Hello, Nancy.
Morning, Louise.
How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And it seems so appropriate and also kind of like very monumental or something that we're having this conversation, because I didn't know if it would ever happen.
I know, even the last lady that you had on, when you were saying, oh God, we can actually go for lunch now. It's like, yeah, wow. Yeah. Normality starts to come back. It's weird.
It is, but it's great.
How
are our pets going to respond to this, do you think?
And you know what, because one of the first things we think about with all the dogs that have arrived during lockdown is normality for them is going to be completely abnormal. Their normality is what we consider abnormal. Mm. So definitely coming out of lockdown and people starting to go back to the office is going to have a big impact on these pets. Mm. And is something that I guess a lot of new dog owners are now starting to think, uh-oh, what happens with dogs when I go to work?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, because presumably, like, if people have been at home, and as you say, like, a lot of people have gotten pets over the last 18 months, you know, dogs have been, they have been living a truly wonderful life. Presumably, they've been having lovely, lovely long belly rubs and nice long walks and lots of quality time. So how should, you know, if someone is worried about that, how should they be approaching this time?
Yeah, and I guess because a lot of the new dog owners don't have the experience of what you do with your dog when you go to work and so on, it is something that I guess there is a need for guidance. Mm. So what a lot of dog owners will do is use doggy daycare.
Yeah.
Now, doggy daycare often results in people sniggering and laughing, especially I opened a doggy daycare centre 11 years ago now. We're always the oldest in the country. And back in the day when we had customers ringing up, they'd often be almost embarrassed to say, I want to send my dog to creche. However, in today's world, with all these new dogs and so on, it's almost essential for your dog to have somewhere to go or something to do during the day, especially if you're working long hours. Mm. So doggy daycare kind of is the first go-to for somewhere that your dog can go and spend the day and have fun and get exercise and socialize. And that way then the man hours of dog ownership, such as the long walk and entertaining them during the day, is taken care of. So you just get the nice cuddles and the belly rubs in the evening, because you'll be tired after a long day in the office and your dog will be tired after a long day of daycare.
And like, what about dog walkers and that kind of thing? Like, is it enough? Like, do dogs need to be going, like, as you say, going to somewhere where they can kind of be social and stuff during the day? Or is it enough to have someone kind of pop in on them?
It will totally depend on the dog. So one of the big things that I think people underestimate with dogs is that every dog is different and its likes and dislikes are different. So often, even with when it comes to doggy daycare, we might have dogs that don't pass or passability evaluation simply because they're not suitable for daycare, and people think, oh God, there's something wrong with my dog, and there's not. So when we're looking at adult dogs and how they like to interact, whether they want to go to solo walk, go to dog walker or daycare, we look at dogs, only about 10% of adult dogs are truly dog social, and that means that they want to play with any dog and they're happy to interact with any dog they meet. And that's just 10%.
Mm.
So often people expect that their dog should want to play with other dogs all the time, and they don't. And then we've got around 40% of dogs are kind of dog tolerant, we call it, where, yes, they like a lot of dogs, but certain dogs they don't like, certain face styles they don't like.
Mm.
And then we've got 40% of dogs that really are just dog selective, where they decide, okay, one or two dogs I like. And then we've got 10% of dogs that are dog aggressive.
I feel like these statistics sound like they could translate easily into humans as well.
I definitely will be in the selective group.
Yeah, I think I will be too.
And that's what I say to people all the time. It's, you know, our dogs are like our kids. You know, you can't expect that every child is going to love running into a group soft play. Some kids want to sit down and play Lego.
Yeah.
And it's the same with our dogs. So when it comes to choosing maybe daycare or a dog walker or a pet sitter and so on, you got to look at your own dog and you got to see what do they like to do. And you also have to remember that if your dog is 12, 13, 14 months, they're going to change. So they're becoming dog social, or sorry, socially mature. So they'll go from being that goofy teenage dog to suddenly not particularly wanting to play with other dogs. And it's something that dog owners should be looking out for And don't be shocked. Don't be shocked if your dog turns into a different dog as an adult, because that will happen. So you look at your dog, you say, what do they like to do? And we go from there.
I'm conscious of the fact that there will be people, there are people, as you said, who will definitely be rolling their eyes and kind of like, oh, for God's sake, like, it's a dog. But do you think that people still kind of underestimate what's required in taking proper care of a dog?
Yeah, and you know what? Not to go down the route of bringing things in, but given what happened to the little baby in Waterford a couple of weeks ago as well, I feel like in Ireland we underestimate the training our dogs require and their needs. I think we have a very almost like still a rural attitude that dogs are dogs. Yeah. They'll be there. They might spend a lot of time in the garden. They'll fit into our life. Mm. Whereas I guess more so maybe across Europe and so on, people are a lot more conscious of making sure their dog's needs are cared for, and not needs of just food, shelter, water, but needs of training, of mental stimulation, of enrichment, and letting them live their best lives without being Paris Hilton and putting your dog in a handbag.
Yeah.
Your dog has needs. If you want to have a dog, they're highly intelligent species. You need to make sure you give them an enriched life. And if you're not up to that, then don't get a dog. You know, it's that simple. And if you don't think that's cool, watch your football. Don't worry, leave the dog lovers to themselves, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's not for everyone. And I mean, it's not. Like, my son has started asking for a dog. He's 4. And I, at the moment, this is working for me because I don't have the time to take care of a dog. So I know that about myself. And I've been saying, well, when you're ready to pick up, I said, do you want to pick up the dog's poo? And he said, no. And I said, well, when you're ready to pick up a dog's poo, then we can talk about getting a dog. You know, and that's not even the half of it. But, you know, it is a huge commitment, and it is introducing another person, you know, a person, a character, if you will, into your family that requires care and attention. And with that in mind, if you're listening and you're not sure what is the appropriate kind of care for your dog, whether it's dog walker or doggy daycare kind of thing, what's the best way of figuring that out?
Talking to professionals. Okay. So I know that's kind of the cop-out, but it really is. Like, we will have people phone us up and say, look, I think my dog needs daycare. And then we have a list of things like red flags, we call them, where they say the dog is 1.5 and he's never getting to play with other dogs, so that's why I want daycare. Then that dog may not be suitable for daycare. Or they'll say things, my dog doesn't like other dogs, so I want to put him in daycare so he'll learn to like dogs. And again, that's not suitable. So picking up the phone to your local daycare and just looking at the questions that they have for you will help kind of guide you into what's suitable. Again, talking to a dog walker as well. And you know what? Things like online forums and stuff and Facebook groups are great because dog lovers love dog lovers.
Yeah.
And if you go in there as a dog lover and say, look, I'm new to dog ownership. I want to do what's right for my dog. This is who he is as a person.
Yeah.
What should I do? You will get great feedback there. And while a lot of people, I guess, I'll call them pseudo experts, where they kind of think they know a lot about dogs, there are then a lot of dog owners who have gone off and done online courses or watched the right TV shows or read the right books. And there is this so much information out there, you know, about the right way to care for your dog and the right way to meet your dog's needs. And even like what you were saying about your little boy, what I say to people is, and he's a little bit young for this, but if you have someone in your family that really wants to get a dog, you get them to sit in and read a good dog training book, good, you know, introduction to owning a dog. And if they sit down and commit to reading the entire book and learn that information and are dedicated enough to follow through, then yes, perhaps we can get a dog. But until people kind of come at dog ownership from a perspective of, I need to learn about this, this is an entire new development area for me, then we can't just pick up dogs and expect them to just fit into our lives with no drama. There will be drama if people don't get professional help and speak out the right information.
Very quickly before I let you go, Nancy, I have two questions. One is, what kind of cost are you looking at if daycare is the best option for your dog? And secondly, are the services regulated? Like, can you trust if there's a service open that they will have the appropriate setting and be the appropriate people?
Okay, so two good questions. The first one, so about cost, again, it usually will depend where in the country you are.
Okay.
So if you're looking at, say, like a month of full-time daycare, you could be looking from anything to 200 to 400, probably more in the 300 to 400 region. But again, what we'll often have is people send the dogs in maybe Tuesdays, Thursdays, or 1 or 2 days a week, and then perhaps pop home on the lunch breaks and so on. Mm-hmm. But the regulated question is a good one, and it's a scary one, and unfortunately, like the dog training industry, it's not regulated at all. And that's why it's down to the dog owners to make sure that they're sourcing a good environment for their dog to go in. Yeah. So when it comes to daycare, has it been purposely set up? Is it hygienic? Is it safe? Is there enough gates and locked doors and barriers and so on? Are they separating the dogs by big and small? Because you don't want a little dog kind of getting crushed by a big dog and so on. How do they assess the dog? All this kind of stuff is really important. And what kind of qualifications do the staff have? Yeah. And are they legit qualifications? So there's a lot of stuff that people can look into.
And I presume Yeah, I presume as well that's where forums and Facebook groups and stuff would definitely come in handy as well. A recommendation. I mean, I'm thinking about my children and their care during the day, but a recommendation means so much.
It is. And like you said, again, people should be looking at doggy daycare centres as though they're going to see a nursery for their child.
Yeah.
You're looking at it with the same kind of eyes, safety, education, good levels of supervision and all that kind of stuff. And then just let your dog figure it out. I say to the dog owners often, let your dog figure it out. We do a 3-day assessment process, and by the third day, if your dog is running in the door, he likes it. If he's anxious to come in, he potentially doesn't like it, and they should not accept dogs that don't want to be there. That's the big thing.
That sounds like great advice. Thank you so much, Nancy Creedon, dog behaviourist. I hope you have a lovely day, Nancy.
You too, Louise.
Thanks a million. Louise McSherry on 2FM.